done.
Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
Case something jumps off. You back up for the high, but the off. In the graveyard is where you get off. All we wanna do is party. And buy everybody at the bar Bacardi. Black Barbie dressed in Bugatti. I'm trying to leave in somebody's Ferrari. Spread love, that's what a real mob do. Keep it gangster, look out for the people. I'm the wicked bitch of these. You better keep the peace. Or out come the beast. We the best, still is room for improvement. Our presence is felt like a black panther movement. 7/4 to 8, back to back. When I'm sitting on chrome, 7 times.
Set us on my beats. With the Bentleys, the Hummers, the Benz. Escalade 2023 trims. Jumping out the Jaguar with the Timbs.
Hey, yo, keep your bread up.
You delivery to you and yours. Man. I rep, he rep the boys. If you rep your hood, just make some noise. I got my eye on the guy in the orange coat. Hey. Don't need no queen bee, got the ill. Let me show you what I'm all about. How I make a Sprite can. Whoa, shake up the dice, throw down your ice, bet it all, play twice. Money ain't a thing, throw it out like rice. Been around the world, cop the same thing twice. Rub on my, squeeze on my, give me some, step on the gas, pop the cork and roll up the, you know what we about, sex,
cash. This is for my beats, with the Bentleys, the Hummers, the Benz. Escalade 23 inch rims, jumping out the Jaguar with the Timbs. Keep your bread up and live good.
Good morning, good morning. Yeah, with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, for the first show of 2018 here on January 4th. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. Here, from the Christian calendar, 2018. It's great to be here, 2018, the first show. I can't say that enough. It's if you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path here, what we like to do is we like to talk a little bit about some local news, a little bit about some national Canadian news. Then we like to broaden it up to some news down south, because there's a constant circus going on, even in the first 4 days. It seems like it never stops and it never starts. It's just always happening. But we try to bring some serious issues to the light and also keep them very light. We like to joke. Sometimes we have some guests in here, some really, really smart people, some creative people, some comedians. Maybe some of my friends who are smart who have something to say. We let callers call in. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-8-UBC-CITR. We like to keep it fresh. And so if you have any ideas, you're welcome to follow me on social media. You can check us out on the Facebook page, or you can just listen. You can just listen. Listen, you don't have to be an active listener. You can just be a passive listener. Just, you know, just taking it all in for the new year. And so what we want to do here is try to bring you up to speed about everything that's going on. I know that I have been gone for 2 weeks, and I'm sure your Thursday mornings, you know, while you are getting ready for school, getting ready for work, but maybe you're driving to work. Maybe you're at work. You're at work. Maybe a job you like. Maybe a job that you don't like. But, you know, Thursday mornings, your reprieve, and I am back for the foreseeable future. So, you know, we like to jump right into the weather. And so what's going on here in Vancouver? You know, it's the winter, and I was talking to someone about my seasonal depression. And being gone, you don't really notice, like, how many days we have consecutively with clouds in the sky or with the heavy fog like we had yesterday. But get used to it because I would say 12 of the next 14 days will be filled with rain. And when I say 12 of the next 14 days, I really mean 14 in the next 14 days because the only 2 days on the forecast that don't have rain are at 40% precipitation. So, welcome to January in Vancouver. And just like last year, we're going to get through it. But it's not looking so tough. So, through the weekend, it'd be a high of 7 and a low of 4. The one thing I really like about the weather here is the temperature doesn't swing. If you are listening on the East Coast or maybe even the Midwest, like way as west as Chicago, what you probably are experiencing is frigidly cold temperatures. Temperatures that go down. I think the news said it's colder than Mars in North America. And you know, you have to stay woke. I mean, listen, we wake up early for the show, but you need to stay woke because this is how they do it. This is how they get you thinking about, you know, maybe Mars isn't so bad because it's not as cold as Earth is. You know, you got to start thinking about these types of things. These are the types of decisions that you might not have to make now, but soon come, you will have to start thinking about whether you want to live here, Mars, or the moon. So let's just jump right into some Vancouver news. So I have been scouring the news here in Vancouver because we talk about this every week, every time this comes up. There's really three things that dominate the news here in Vancouver. Is homelessness. There's homelessness, there's housing, and then there's drugs. And so, this is not like, this is very, an odd week because none of those have been an issue in the first week. Not particularly like the East Coast where, like they are experiencing from very, very frigid temperatures. So like if you are one of those, women who have like, you know, an infinite amount of blankets on your bed and maybe like, you know, to go along with your 14 pillows, you know, there are a lot of homeless people who need some assistance. So maybe just take one blanket off, maybe like a few pillows, and donate them to your local shelter or maybe your familiar down-and-out person you walk by on the way to work. You know, everybody needs a little help. And I saw a statistic that said 144,000 people in the United States freeze to death every year. And I just thought of how many people that is. And why have I never heard that statistic before? Like 104. I even had to Google it because, like, you can't believe Upworthy or, you know, one of those other 60 seconds, you know, things that come across your feed. So I had to Google it, and it was factual. Like, it's an average of 144,000 people. That's so many people. I mean, we live, you know, live in Canada, but you know, America talks about how it, you know, it's one of the most civilized, powerful nations on the earth, and people are dying of being froze to death. It's unnecessary. But back to Canadian news. So, there's nothing really going on in homelessness. I mean, it's not like, I mean, not when I say there's nothing going on. I mean, listen, there's always a need to help homeless and the homelessness problem here in Vancouver. However, in the news, it hasn't popped up recently, mostly because this is around the time when they release the top five valuable, most valuable properties here in Vancouver. And no surprise, Chip Wilson takes the top list. But one interesting point is that per square foot, his house is not the most expensive in Vancouver. Like, his house is not even more expensive than condos downtown per square foot. I mean, he lives in, you know, on a beachfront property in Kitsilano in a huge house that looks like it takes up like three lots. But per square foot, just a regular, just an average house here in Vancouver, which says, I think, more about Vancouver housing than it does say about Chip Wilson. It's just that, you know, housing is expensive. And if you can afford it, you can build a really, really, really big one. So his house comes in at $78 million. I don't think that really people care about these other people's houses, because if you listen to the radio, listen, you probably, if you listen to the radio, particularly if you listen to this show, you probably look at the people who own those houses the same way I do, with like a very, very heavy squint. And not at all, because honestly, I don't know who lives in these houses. And probably, if you've ever ridden your bike or walked through Point Grey, nobody, especially during this time. But if you're into Michelle Obama, she will be speaking here next month, February 15th. She will be speaking to the speaking in Vancouver, hosted by the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade. I thought it was interesting. So they've been trying to bring Michelle Obama here for a while, and they just got her. So Michelle Obama has agreed to come to Vancouver. Maybe Barack will come. Who knows? However, interesting point, they don't even have a topic for the discussion yet. They believe that it will be like mostly women and business women and entrepreneurship and things like that. Michelle Obama's a smart woman, so I trust that she'll figure it out. However, if you'd like to hear Michelle Obama speak during Black History Month, February 15th, you can check it out. Tickets go on sale January 18th to the general public. However, if you or maybe one of your friends has a membership to the Board of Trade, then they will be able to purchase tickets on January 10th. So pressure your friends into buying you a ticket so that you can get a seat, because I am pretty sure it will sell out. Like, the news is so slow in Vancouver that they have decided that, like, so that the CBC and Vancouver Sunday both decided to talk about this one story where they discussed the pay gap between men and women, and not only men and women, but minorities and white people. And so, like, because normally when you talk about the disparities between men and women, they're talking about white men and white women. And when you look further into data between black men and then women of color, so like Asian women or Hispanic women or black women, you see that the pay gap is very, 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 very different. So it's already a big pay gap, and then it's an even larger pay gap. So the CBC and Vancouver Sun have decided that this is an issue that they would like to discuss on January 3rd and 4th on their website. And I think it's a good one. And because they come from a different perspective where instead of trying to close the pay gap really behind closed doors, what they suggest is that talking about salaries openly will help close the pay gap, which is something that I feel like is pretty straightforward and obvious to most people. And it's something that I never really understood, you know, why we didn't do more of just talking about salaries, because keeping your salary a secret isn't really protecting you. It's really protecting the people who pay you, and the people who pay you aren't typically in the interest of protecting you when it comes to your pay, or a pay gap wouldn't exist. It's something that I thought about a lot, you know, coming from banking, where I know that people were getting paid different amounts because I saw a sheet one time. But, you know, had I never seen that, I wouldn't have. I mean, obviously, I would have an idea, but you don't really think about it as much, you know, on a day-to-day because you're just thinking about how can I pay my bills with my salary instead of trying to, you know, count other people's money in their pockets. But it can be frustrating, particularly, you know, when we see some examples like when most recently Matt Lauer, you know, was fired for his sexual assault and him just being a total weirdo, that his co-hosts, the people who replace him, together will be paid a combined, like, it's like $18 million less per year than he was. And so when those types of, like, glaring differences exist, you know for certain that they exist elsewhere, particularly in other industries where your pay is never really publicly disclosed or, you know, very highly, highly frowned upon to talking about in public. So, like, I encourage people to have those types of conversations because it's not, you're not really protecting people. And I don't really think people get as envious as you would think. Like, if, you know, talking to people who get paid, you know, differently at your own job, particularly who do the same, you know, level of work, or maybe people who work a little bit harder or a little bit less hard, you know, and having those types of conversations, those people aren't going to hate you, but they will probably hate, you know, the employer, and maybe it'll make it a more fair, equitable, you know, situation to be in for everybody. Because when people do the same work or people do more work, listen, people should be compensated properly and fairly. And so when we know that these pays exist, regardless whether they what they exist for, we should do something about it. There was a conversation in one of my MBA, my business classes here at UBC, and we really discussed that. Mostly discussed how white guys, particularly, you know, negotiate salaries, and everyone else really just takes what they get. So it's like white men are 68% more likely to negotiate the salary than anyone else and ask for a higher salary. And so, you know, it was a question about, like, do you deserve a higher salary just because you ask for it? You know, when there's others maybe who don't feel as comfortable, maybe don't feel as confident that, you know, that this is something that can do. Or maybe this never should be seen as an option. And so I think that is, you know, a moral question where we are, instead of rewarding the work, we're rewarding someone who's just willing to ask, when in all other facets of their life, we know that those people don't get to ask those type of questions. So something to think about as we move on into January. And I think that this is like the time when people start getting their bonuses and maybe people's reviews start coming up. And these are some things you should think about in your workplace. When we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about Douglas College and how they give out Mickey Mouse degrees and how a woman has said absolutely not. Tune in.
Every second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 is Women in Career Night at the Bike Kitchen. Bring your bike and give it some love in this safe and positive space for anyone who identifies as female or queer. Come learn how to fix your own bike with the help of a female or queer-identified mechanic and volunteers. Plus, there's free pizza. Visit bikecoop.ca for more information.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Can't make no money giving your... get to in the way.
That's it right there.
Look out. You. Who's your guy?
That's you. You the same, you the same, you the same. Project, bitches tell me you the same. Brand new wrist with a newer chain. Running through Atlanta like I'm Gucci Mane. Red Bean really helped the Ruger aim. Fuck the neighbors, I don't care who complain. Double G to the socks, real Gucci gang. Faded hard to understand me like I'm Pootie Tang. Yeah, let a shot go out of base bump. Getting head, pulling on the lace front. I was in a cell almost 8 months. You ain't a jack boy, you ain't take none.
You back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. You're listening to Davies. I had to shut it off because, as my mom would say, it's too early in the morning to hear that shit because sometimes they say clean and it's not. You know, it's drive time here. You know, it's people taking the kids to work, listening to, you know, listening to Davies. It should be what they're doing in their cars. But, you know, I respect it if, you know, if there's something that they don't want to listen. And if you would like to listen to that song, you can find these songs on facebook.com/OTBP20XX. You can find it on the Discorder CITR website. You can also found it on Mixcloud. Listen, there's so many ways for you to listen to the show, so many ways for you to listen to the podcast if you missed the beginning of the show because you've missed out on some great things already. Or if you want to listen to an old episode, you can find them all on the same channels. Also, Crimes and Treasons, the other show I'm on that is on Tuesdays from our new time from 8 to 10 PST. We have our 2017 best of from Homeboy Jules and DJ Relly Rels up already. And so if you are already feeling nostalgic and, you know, reminiscing about 2017 and some of the great songs that came out, then you can tune in and find the podcast on crimeandtreasons.com. So before the break, talking a little bit about some of the Mickey Mouse degrees that colleges are giving out. And so this one woman in Vancouver has said enough is enough after she received her literally a sheet of paper that said basically, like, thank you for your money from Douglas College. She started an 8-month program. An 8-month Aboriginal Studies program. She is a lawyer from Richmond, and so she wants to go into Child Protective Services or Child Services, and really wants a better understanding of. She wanted a better understanding of, you know, the Aboriginal studies here in BC and the effects of residential schools and some of the other policies that have harmed Aboriginal people here. And so from, she took this certificate at Douglas College, and basically what they gave her was a, like, thank you, and they printed out of her a sheet of paper as well as with her other classmates. But the program isn't really it doesn't really mean anything. So she was highly upset and decided that she wants to sue Douglas College not only for her tuition but for some damages, basically for time wasted, because she talks about how much energy that she put in. And listen, while I understand that she put in a lot of energy, and I understand that she needs to be compensated, particularly with a, you know, like a certificate of completion for the course, I am not really following what the complaint is so much as she believed that and the studies were really good. Like, it's really beneficial to her and just her overall knowledge of the subject and what she went to school for, what she went to study at Douglas College. And so, like, I'm see it from both sides as if everybody, you should want credit, and you should receive credit for the things that you do and the time that you put in for your particular studies. But that's why you go to school, is so that you can get the understanding. And so if I feel that the goal has been met, if you come away from a program thinking that this was very valuable and that this is something of use, what's the point of, like, what's the need for the certificate if you can show competence, particularly in a job interview or in any other capacity? Because, I mean, let's be honest, like, I don't think that the certificate, whether it was official or non-official, is really going to change, a job, an HR person's mind, whether you are qualified or disqualified for the job, if it's something that you are qualified for. So, while I understand that the woman, would like her, like restitution, I do understand that, listen, she admittedly said it was a good program. So, good luck to her. But I think that it's a waste, because I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of multiple people's time. And you got what you wanted out of it. So moving on, we are going to take a musical break, because I like playing music in the morning, and we didn't really get to do that. Here's Mick Jenkins with Spread Love. I like Mick Jenkins, and if you haven't heard of him, you should too.
Southside, round 91st and Cottage Grove. I done seen a lot of failure, still I found myself a lot of goals. YCA was where I found myself, I started using lead to harness goals. Way easier to smile, let your local hating ass nigga know. Earning patience fast, sipping slow. All this water in me, I've been water bending on the southern side of the goal. I got martyrs with me, ship is charter, we've been on a mission. Low-key expedition, using intuition, losing inhibitions just to give her only inches through the door. To put you on some shit you didn't know. This ain't no poser shit, on some Moses shit, you can see it swimming through the flow. See, I done told you this, but gotta show you this. You know, actions do a little more. I quit the fantasies and started planting seeds, trying to usher in a little growth. My nigga, we've been on our way up. I won't say a layup, but love is easier than what they show. You should know. And they be asking, what do love got to do with the point? It's the soothe in your water, it's the truth in your joint. All that gold is overrated. What do you do with your coin? We gon' try to spread some love with it. Spread some love, we gon' try to spread some love. Ain't nobody got to know. Buy your water by the jug. I'm the plug, what you want, what you need. Not the hate, if you hate a nigga, don't. Spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love, spread love, spread love, spread love. We gon' try to spread some love. Ain't nobody got to know. Buy your water by the jug. I'm the plug, what you want, what you need. Not the hate, if you hate a nigga, don't. Spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love.
So what a nigga really gotta say to me, huh? I just let my little light shine, I guess that's why they wanna throw shade at me, huh? Cause we'll say I love you and never show that shit, that ain't okay with me. Try to spread love on the daily and the record like I got an AK with me. I bet the hater shit don't take you far. Breeze, stretch, shake, let it all go like mace with me. I brought the water in a mason jar, I'm trying to build that masonry in a literal sense. Some people got a literal fence around their hearts. Mine's on my sleeve and I'm out here sleeveless. I ain't finna plead with these niggas to fuck with me. I keep it above 50, trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, hoping you keep up with me.
The basics of his message was love. The basics just loving yourself and projecting that love on the others. Treat the next man like a brother. Yeah, I know it's hard. If you know his words, you know it's hard.
And they be asking, what do love got to do with the point? It's the soothe in your water, it's the truth in your joint. All that gold is overrated. What do you do with your coin? We gon' try to spread some love with it. Spread some love, we gon' try to spread some love. Ain't nobody got to know. Buying water by the jug, I'm the plug. What you want, what you need, not the hate. If you hate a nigga, don't now. Spread love, spread love, spread love.
spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love, spread love, spread love. We gon' try to spread some love. Ain't nobody got to know. Buy a water, buy the jug. I'm the plug. What you want, what you need, not to hate. If you're hating, nigga, don't know. Spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love, spread love, spread love. Spread love.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. And so, where we left off, we just left off in the musical break. That was Mick Jenkins with Spread Love. There has been a lot going on. Not just here in Canada, but really all over the world. And so you know when these stories pop up, you know how excited I get to talk about them. If you've listened to the show, you know that I have an affinity for when animals attack humans and show that they're still fighting. Because like I went to the African American History and Culture Museum in D.C. while I was home. If you get the chance to go to D.C., you should check out, you should take a few days because, listen, it takes a few days to go through, you know, and properly give the museums a good, like, run because there's just so many. There's so much things to see, so many things to see. But if you go to D.C. and you have one day and you have one museum to check out, you should check out the African American History and Culture Museum. Not only is it the newest museum, so it has like the just the best flow, but I think that it is an important part of the it's just important, so you should go check it out. It's nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, absolutely nothing. So if you know me, you know I like the stories. I love to hear about people still fighting. I remember, because I met a woman in the museum. This woman, she told me and my brother, she said, you know what? We're always going to be still fighting. We're always still fighting. And so when I see that same spirit in the animals, it gives me hope to know that, listen, you can always fight back. Even post-mortem, you can come back and you can get them. And so just last week, saw a story in the Mirror, which is a UK online paper. It talks about how this big game hunter was crushed to death by an elephant as it collapsed on top of him after he shot it. Let's give a clap it up for the elephant. Listen, I mean, the elephant, I would say the elephant did no harm to that man, but the elephant did. Like, why are we still killing elephants? Like, what is the point? Now, has anybody ever, listen, call in number 604-822-2487. If you've ever eaten elephant meat, listen, if you've ever wanted to eat elephant meat, if you've ever thought about, what does an elephant taste like? Then you can call in and you can tell me why you, like what you think, and I'll tell you about why I think that's stupid. A little bit about the story, a little bit of backstory. A big game hunter is dead. He was just crushed by a wounded elephant after it was fatally shot. Thunis Botha was on a hunt in Zimbabwe when his group was charged by four breeding elephants. See, the elephants, they know they're fighting back breeding. Breeding elephants. Like, wait a minute. Does that mean that the elephants were in the midst of breeding? Because I can only imagine what might make an elephant more angry than just being hunted, but being hunted while you are trying to make love. No wonder why they were charged. Anyways, how close are you? There's so many questions about why are you so close to these, these breeding elephants. You know, is this the time where you find the most vulnerable? Because what if somebody was hunting you and waited until you were trying to, you know, make love to your queen and decided that that was the time that they wanted, you know, they thought was best to run up on you and your family. Anyways. So, he's described as a legend. Well, he was described as a legend You know, it's sad he's a father of five, and they leave his father behind. You know, they leave their dad, you know, in Zimbabwe. But I'm not the only one who, you know, lacks this level of sympathy, because a lot of opponents from big game hunters, he's got pictures with cheetahs. He's got pictures with rhinoceroses. He's got pictures with other elephants. He's got pictures with rhinos. He's got pictures with lions, big-ass alligators. Listen, this family, all they do is just run around and hunt on animals in Africa. And it's, while it's sad that this person has died, it's more sad that they felt that they had to, like, as their life's work and what they wanted to leave behind, the legacy they wanted to leave to his five kids, was that he wanted to kill animals. And I guess it's a lesson that, listen, just because you can kill a few, listen, they will come, because they are always fighting, and they should be fighting. This is their planet too, planet as well. Maybe this is a lesson to all the big game hunters that maybe you should just leave them alone. Anyways, I get too excited, because I always feel that, like, if it's my time, like, when is my time to go, right? Like, because we all got to go. Eventually, we all have to die someday. But when it's my time to go, and if I am hiking or snowshoeing, we talked about this yesterday, if I'm snowshoeing, you know, through Cyprus, or, you know, I'm hiking, and, you know, I come across a bear, maybe a large cat, maybe a large bird. I feel like maybe not one large bird could take you out, but maybe two or three large birds. You know, and it just so happens that I lose the fight to the animal. Listen, you know, I would hope that my family understands and say this, hey, you know, Issa talked about it a lot. You know, he just knew that this was his time and he was going to fight. I'll fight the animal, but, you know, if I lose, then I lose. And you got to chalk the L up, just chalk it up to the game, because you can't smirk a little bit when it's somebody else, but when it's you, that wouldn't be right. It just makes me happy to see that the animals are still out here fighting, just not going away, simply because we want them to, and we have the ability to make them go away. If you have been watching the news, and you've known that, you basically know that this first 4 days, we not only we have a bomb cyclone that's going to hit the East Coast, but we have potential ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile, in case you didn't understand what the acronym stood for, because Kim Jong-un said that he has the nuclear button on his desk and he's ready to rock anytime. And then in response to that, the United States President Donald Trump said, yeah, somebody tell that MF-er that I have a button too, and my button works. And while he didn't say it just like that, he did send it off in a tweet that pretty much said just that. Said, well, you know, I keep that thing strapped too, and I'm ready to rock. And so with two men, both have the worlds in their tiny, tiny hands, and we're all going to suffer for it. Because it's not, I was thinking about it and talking about it with some friends. It's not like this, it's not like the Cold War, you know, where we had, you know, where there were like military, actions, and it was like a chess match, and we had spies, and everything was just, you know, it was kind of sexy. Like, or maybe I think it's sexy because it's, you know, because it's like the Cold War ended the year I was born. So everything that I learned about the Cold War is from like movies, like, you know, like the Hunt for Red October, and people are just, you know, it's just stealthy and it just seems more smart. This seems like two guys who you know, two guys maybe, let's say analogy, they're at the same school. Because you can use this at, you know, in America, thinking about this type of analogy. They're at the same school. And one's like, well, I'm going to bring a gun to school tomorrow. And the other kid's like, well, you know what? I'm going to bring my gun to school tomorrow. And all the other kids are like, yo, I cannot believe that these people are going to shoot up the school tomorrow. And it's a final, so I have to be there. Like, you know, it's like you have to show up to school. And there's a potential that these people will get shot. And knowing damn well that they're not going to shoot each other. They're just going to kill us. Like, when I listen to these things, I get this deep sense of sadness realizing that, like, while I believe that my life is valuable and while I believe that my friends' lives are valuable, my family, and they believe that their friends and family are valuable, and I'm sure that there's people in North Korea who believe that their friends and their family are valuable. In reality, the people who have the power to extinguish lives with a single button do not think that your life is valuable enough to just cease to have nuclear weapons. Like, I don't think that when Donald Trump presses that button, he's thinking about protecting the American people. I think that he's just thinking like, hey, I'm just not going to let this man talk to me like that, and I'm going to hit this button just because. Like, and what makes that, you know, that type of gangster different than anybody else's gangster who doesn't care about the, you know, innocent bystanders that potentially may or may not get hit, you know, through some type of violent retaliation, you know, whether it is small and takes place, you know, within a city or within a few city blocks, or whether it takes place on a larger scale like the globe. You know, people are just trying, people and these dudes particularly are out here just trying to flex their mettle. And what is it going to leave for the rest of us is to be determined. However, it looks like we could use some help, maybe a mediator. When we get back, we're going to go into some more lighter, funnier stories. Well, I wouldn't say funnier, just like things that make you scratch your head just a little bit. But they'll be interesting. So tune in. Stay tuned. You hear what Off the Beaten Path. We'll be back in a moment.
Issues in UBC academia and social life. Some of our major events include Dioko, UBC's largest African dance party, Culture Night, a celebration of African culture and diversity, and Conference Week, where our goal is to foster more intelligent and intellectual dialogue about Africa on the UBC campus. With this in mind, we hope to contribute towards creating global citizens with a more informed perspective of the continent.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Hi everyone, we're from the UBC Food Society.
Yummy!
And we're the only food club at UBC.
We're about feeding students, but also teaching them how to feed themselves. Through our restaurant outings and cooking workshops, we hope to expose you guys to the diversity of cultures, flavors, and food communities Vancouver has to offer.
So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety, or you can even join our Facebook group.
Surely body damage.
So I can tell the things she mean by how she move. She don't speak no English, only body language. So watch her speak. She love what she so cause she know what she reap. And any single trade can but you are. Now see like some girl out the streets. Soon as them here keys, them turn on like a Jeep. Yes, you're trying to find my tether, try go sleep. Cause these type of queens only live in your dreams. Don't need no bleach on a washing machine to keep our shots clean from up with team. My girlfriend do not come with no man problem. My girlfriend good in art, but she bad from when. My girlfriend only listen with you want and day. So my girlfriend only part with the champion man.
The champion.
My girlfriend no response. She just cannot take distance. So she made herself distant. Heart get colder than England. My girlfriend, she bankrupt. Invested time in some unbuffs. A man that hold her down and just make her conscience and
unconscious.
Ooh, mommy sing a tune for me crucially come to. Tell me mama pass every single class in a school. Mommy go on moon for me brutally come. Groove for me like shoes and the soul loose. Cruise mommy gonna mix up like Pro Tools. Your logic so true, love what you produce, yeah.
I don't really care what people say.
In my life you gon' glue come true.
My girlfriend do not come with no man problem. My girlfriend good in art but she bad from when. My girlfriend finger so brandy. My girlfriend nice and she neat and discreet. Me no speak no English, only body language. So I defeat the lies and try to reveal the truth. She believed the lies, that's why she's slightly damaged. Watch me unteach.
Then teach the doubt of a cry. That cause fault in the mind. Still them touch and slaughter the mind. And them alter the vibes. Drug cartel a supply. Yeah, the man made the mind up a lie. From start to the time. Tell Eve she from part of a side.
How did Cain just walk to a wife?
From Ghana we rise. All them a try life. This is just us himself. Turn water to wine. Wine for me. It divine. Wine for me. It divine. She bring wine for me. From the vine. Wine for me. It divine.
My girlfriend
seems like I don't really like myself.
My girlfriend
seems like I don't really find myself like it.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 Vancouver's Community Radio Station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Can't promise we'll put you on air, but we'll listen to what you have to say. We have to say that because sometimes people call in here, and while I appreciate the call and I appreciate that they are listening in the morning, sometimes they don't have anything to say except to chastise me, which I enjoy. So bring the chastise on. Listen, I like to hear it because it makes me feel good, you know, about my day, and it gives me the energy to keep going. So if you were wondering, this is there's so many things that go on in the world that we have absolutely no idea about, like things that we should know, things that we should care about, things that like should be a number one priority, but they get overlooked as like mundane or just not very well, like we just, things that we take for granted, things that we just expect, like you know, IV bags. You know, if you've ever been to the hospital, you've ever needed blood, you've ever had been in surgery, or you've ever seen someone, you know that how important IV bags and saline drip are to hospitals. Listen, like almost every single person that's in the hospital is hooked up to one, because they're important. And so what I most recently learned from my browsing Twitter is that we are experiencing a shortage of IV bags here in North America, particularly due to Hurricane Maria. Now, if you've never heard of this, I would not be surprised, because apparently nobody had. A man who is recently, well, whose wife is recently going under some cancer treatment, some chemo treatment, had learned that, has basically learned that there had been a shortage of IV bags, basically through the nurse Grapevine. And the reason for the shortage is that, like, 70% of the bags, the IV bags, are produced in Puerto Rico, in a region that is not, in a region that was severely affected by the hurricane and has not been fixed yet. And so when that company, you know, when that manufacturing company can no longer, you know, could no longer produce IV bags, you know, it was a real problem. And so he learned about this while he was in the hospital just like 1 week ago. And so he sent out a tweet, basically, and the tweet was picked up by so many doctors and nurses who confirmed, who basically confirmed what his nurse and his doctors had been saying, was that they, you know, that they needed help and there's IV bag shortage across North America. And so the tweet went so viral that it prompted a response from the FDA and Snopes, where they had to look into, you know, the validity and the truth of the issue and what the issue, and when it came back, it was 100% true. And that scared the shit out of me because somebody on Twitter, like a random civilian on Twitter, caused such a firestorm that it sparks a response from the FDA when doctors and other nurses knew about this issue. And this is the first time that, you know, it's the first time that I had heard of it. So basically, you know, what had happened is that when the hurricane hit, you know, there's people, like, it's almost 50% of Puerto Rico currently is still without power. There's been hundreds of deaths, and the death tolls continue to rise as they continue to find and look for people, you know, who have been, you know, really affected by the hurricane. But what we've seen is that that the response has been very slow from the United States government, you know, in especially the time right when the hurricane was a big deal. But what we know about these storms is that, you know, even when they go out of the news eye, the media's eye, listen, those problems are still there. Those people are still affected. Like we see with Katrina. Katrina happened in, was it 06, and it's 2018, and there's still remnants of Katrina, and still things that need help to be brought back. And so in Puerto Rico, we're seeing the same thing, except for it's not in the continental U.S. So it has even less eyes on it. And so when you see something like, you know, something like the IV bags being a shortage, you think of what other type of potential problems, you know, can these types of storms, and not only types of storms, but these types of like ripple effects have on the rest of us when there's like so many things going on, particularly like this bomb cyclone. Like, I love saying bomb cyclone, like, but this winter storm that's going to hit, you know, that used to be called a nor'easter, and now it used to just be called winter, but now it's a pressure system. What is it called? It's where cold air from the north and warm air from the south really creates a drop in pressure and creates some extreme temperatures in the east. Like, when we see like these flash colds and people die, or people die because of this, the shortage of IVs, and all these weather related deaths. Like, I saw a story about environmental gentrification, about how people are going to be displaced from their homes because basically, you know, the water is rising, and not people begin, like, this has happened all over the world, but people in the United States are starting to be affected by that. You know, starting to be affected by that more heavily is that these areas that are low, you know, in sea level are starting to be affected by climate change, you know, and this is all happening while we have, you know, a government that doesn't believe in climate change, doesn't believe in the effects. And so, you know, every year we delay, you know, we delay thinking about how ways to combat this. we end up with more situations where, you know, something like this, where we have an IV shortage, or we have a medicine shortage, or we have, you know, people are dying. And so it's said that we have to wait for something like this to happen, like a tweet to come out, so that the regular everyday people can get the news. Because the people who can afford IV bags, listen, they're going to get the IV bags. The people who can pay a little extra for the IV bags, they're going to get them. So, you know, when thinking about the shortage, it's not like we're thinking about the most affected, like who will be affected the most. And that's always poor people, and always people in these disadvantaged areas. And so we need to be conscious about how, you know, how these things are affecting. And then, like, what can we do as people to try to help alleviate these situations? I'm not sure. I don't think there's anything. There was not a solution, but just something to think as we move forward. There's a story I wanted to talk about, but maybe we'll just jump right in. So, in Oregon, there's like two things that happened in the West Coast. So, as of January 1st, they legalized recreational cannabis sales of marijuana in California. I realize I said cannabis, marijuana, like it's just redundant. But they basically, you can legally sell weed at stores in California as of January 1st. And while that is all great, you know, they project at the end of 2019 that the California weed industry will be $5.1 billion worth of economic, like basically GDP, you know, what is it, GNP, GSP to the state of California. We still have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in prison for these nonviolent drug offenses when there's also people making billions of dollars off of the weed. And I mean, you know, it's wishful thinking. I remember a few years ago, you know, talking about the legalization of marijuana, you know, and while it was like wishful thinking that we would hope that the reform would come, and not only would the reform come, but it would be a real change in the way that we saw people, particularly who have nonviolent drug offenses, and the people who are already incarcerated, and the families, and basically the communities who have been ravaged and basically, you know, ripped apart by these, you know, these transgressions, and how can we alleviate those? But that seems to not be in the conversation at all. So it's just seemingly more of the same, and it's sad. But, you know, there's some people who are out there, you know, trying to make a living, you know, doing things unconventionally. And so I don't know if you follow BSO or Black Sports Online. Listen, because you should. Well, so there's a 23-year-old from, I think she's from Virginia. And, she's a 23-year-old from Wisconsin. Who is auctioning off her virginity, and she blames her parents for not letting her watch anime and some other cartoons as she was growing up, you know, and really keeping her a shelter life. And she blames her boyfriend for breaking up with her, cheating on her. That so now she wants to auction off her virginity. And the only thing I have to say about that is, why would someone, why would somebody pay for that? Like, I think that's a valid question. Like, why would somebody pay to take someone's virginity? Like, I could see how there could be a supply of virginities for sale. Like, there's a supply. Like, there is always a supply of everything. But the demand, like, why would you pay for that when there are professionals? Like, I don't go to the mechanic and say, like, hey, you know, just not a mechanic. It's like, hey, you know, I've never done this before, but I will gladly be your mechanic. You know, I'm like, no, I need a professional. I need someone to service my needs with some professionalism, not an amateur. You guys have a great week. We tune in here every Thursday, 7 to 8. You can also catch me on Crimes and Treasons on Tuesday from 8 to 10 with Horsepower, Relly Rels, Homeboy Jules, and Jamal Steeles. Until next Thursday, I'm out. Have a great week. Peace.